When I was in late elementary school at Eastmoreland Elementary School in Joplin, Missouri, I had the privilege of being a crossing guard. I had the bright orange sash belt thing, and I had the bright orange flag at the end of my pole, and I loved it. I loved the responsibility and what I thought was the honor. And of course, I loved getting to leave class for a small part of the day, in the middle of the day. I was the one, the crossing guard, responsible for making sure that the kindergartners got across the street safely so they could go home and have lunch. This was back in the day of half-day kindergarten. I loved it, too, because I really enjoyed being around younger children. And in addition, one of the kindergartners that I crossed safely was a member of our church. Her name was Kathy, and her smile lit up her face. I loved helping her get across the street safely and sending her on her way. Tragically, though, just a few years after my time of helping Kathy safely across the street those days, Kathy died in a car accident. It was July of 1982, and her family was on the way back home after they had spent some quality time together at Grand Lake in Oklahoma, which is like our Lake Norman. Kathy's family van was going around a curve. A car was coming the other direction, crossed over the center line, and hit them head on. Sadly, Kathy wasn't wearing a seatbelt. She was thrown from the van. Her head hit a rock, and she was dead on arrival at the hospital. Kathy was just 8 years old. I don't remember much more about Kathy's immediate family after that supper. I knew her after that summer. I knew her cousins in high school, but we didn't run in the same crowds. Her parents drifted away from the church, and I know that they divorced. Her dad and grandfather continued their work at the clothing stores that they owned. What I do remember is the memorial service, because Kathy's family was well known in our community, and because the church was, like Highland, good at being the church, the sanctuary was packed for her service. I sat in the balcony and watched the room fill up as people continued streaming in. I don't remember the hymns or the scriptures, but I do remember my dad, who was the pastor of First Pres in Joplin. I do remember him declaring boldly, "It was not God's will that Kathy died." I think he must have said it more than once because it stuck with me. It also struck me because even then I knew for him that was a risky thing to say. In a service with so many non-church members and in a service in Joplin, Missouri, what felt like the heart of the Bible Belt. In a place where people wanted pat answers and convenient faith. In a place where people wanted to be able to declare, "God chose a new angel with Kathy." Where people believed that God intentionally wreaked havoc in order to strengthen someone's faith. Dad's declaration was bold, and it was risky. And his declaration was true. God did not will for Kathy Sahosky to die abruptly at age 8, ending a life with so many strands, so many joys from God's creation yet to be discovered, so many stories longing for completion. God did not will for her to die. God does not will for any of God's beloved children to die prematurely. As theologian Leslie Weatherhead put it, It is clear from what we know of God, as God is revealed, especially in Jesus, that God's intention for all God's sons and daughters is perfect health of body, mind, and spirit. God wills goodness for our lives, not tragedy and despair. God wills wholeness, not brokenness and division. We hear in John's Gospel in the 10th chapter that Jesus said, "I came that all might have life and have it abundantly." God does not will lives to end tragically. William Sloan Coffin, former chaplain at Yale University, former pastor at Riverside Church in New York City, among other roles, he knew this with every fiber of his being. Coffin's son Alex died tragically in a car accident when he was just 24. It was 6 months after Kathy Sahosky's accident. Alex lost control of his car while he was driving in a rainstorm. The car crashed and broke through the seawall, plunging him and the car into the Boston Harbor. Just 10 days after the accident, Coffin delivered what is a now famous sermon in his congregation in New York City. Here are some of his powerful words. When a person dies, there are many things that can be said, and there is at least one thing that should never be said, he wrote. The night after Alex died, I was sitting in the living room of my sister's house in Boston. When the front door opened, and in came a nice-looking middle-aged woman carrying about 18 quiches. When she saw me, she shook her head and then headed for the kitchen, saying sadly over her shoulder, "I just don't understand the will of God." Instantly, I was up and in hot pursuit, swarming all over her. "I'll say you don't, lady," I said. "For some reason," he continues, "nothing so infuriates me as the capacity of seemingly intelligent people to get it through their heads that God doesn't go around this world with his finger on triggers, his fist around knives, his hands on steering wheels. God is dead set against all unnatural deaths. And Christ spent an inordinate amount of time delivering people from paralysis, insanity, leprosy, and muteness." Coffin continued, "The one thing that should never be said when someone dies is it is the will of God. Never do we know enough to say that. My own consolation," he said, "lies in knowing that it was not the will of God that Alex die, that when the waves closed over the sinking car, God's heart was the first of all hearts to break." God's heart was the first to break. That is such a powerful message. Friends, when tragedy strikes, God is with us. God isn't controlling or causing, but God is present. This was the message Isaiah shared with the children of Israel. No matter what, fire or flood, wind or relationship distress, war or famine, God is with us. Just as God said to the children of Israel, God says to each one of us, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." The one who claims us is the one who will never let us go. These words from Isaiah are some of the most comforting words in all of Scripture. They are often read at memorial services. Do not fear. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. We all need to hear this promise. For who among us has been free from troubles or unexpected grief or suffering? We have all encountered these rising waters or floods or flames at some point. We have all known heartbreak. If not in our lives, then in the life of someone we love. In our sadness and in our humanness, we can still ask, if God is with us, then why? Why did this happen? A favorite quote to which I turn when I think of that familiar question of why is from the French poet Paul Claudel. He wrote, "Jesus did not come to explain away suffering or to remove it. He came to fill it with his presence." Jesus did not come to explain away suffering or to remove it. He came to fill it with his presence. I combine that with my dad's words and with William Sloan Coffin's words. God does not cause or will death and suffering, and God does not explain or remove it, but God does fill it with love and grace, with God's very own presence. Sometimes that is crystal clear to see, and sometimes we have to look a little harder for it, but God's presence is there. As I said, I don't remember too much of Kathy Sahosky's family after that summer, so I can't tell you about how they knew or experienced God's presence. But I can tell you about the woman who described the angel that God sent to her, the angel who stood with her on the roadside after the accident in which the woman was driving took the life of her husband. I can tell you about the pastor who allowed that congregation to care for him and his family after a drunk driver took the life of his eldest son. I can tell you about the widow and her two teenage children who found comfort and much needed busyness in a variety of activities around the church after her husband was killed in an explosion in the plant where he worked. I can tell you about these and many, many more stories of people, stories that you can tell as well, stories of people experiencing God's presence in the midst of the suffering and tragic death. Friends, God's hands were not on Alice's steering wheel, veering her into the median. God's hands were not guiding John's motorcycle into the path of that drunk driver. God's hands did not put those chemicals together, causing the plant where Tom worked to explode. But God's hands were holding on to those beloved children, not letting them go as the waters overwhelmed them. Jesus didn't remove or explain the suffering of Alex, Alice, or Jack, or Doris. But God did fill their hearts with love and grace, with God's very own presence. William Sloan Coffin understood God and God's people filling his heart with love and presence after that tragic accident which took his son's life. In that sermon, which I quoted earlier, after Alex's death, Coffin continued and shared these further reflections. Immediately after such a tragedy, people come to your rescue, people who only want to hold your hand, not to quote anybody or even say anything, people who simply bring food and flowers, the basics of beauty and life, people who sign letters simply, "Your brokenhearted sister." And that's what hundreds of you understood so beautifully, Coffin continued. You gave me what God gives us all, minimum protection, maximum support. I swear to you, I wouldn't be standing here if I were not upheld. Coffin felt God's uplifting presence and love through family and friends, and especially through his church family. In times like these, we are called to embody God's presence to one another. We are called simply to bring food and flowers, to send notes and texts, to pray, and to be present. We are called to be there with and for one another, because that is where God is. There aren't answers, but there is presence. And that is enough when the waters rise, when the fires burn, when the cars crash, and the diagnoses are shared. God is present. For we are convinced that neither height nor depth, nor things present nor things to come, nor accidents nor hospital rooms, nor tears of frustration, nor cries of sorrow can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.